The first reading today is from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 12 and 17 to 18. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from the Ur of Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when birds of prey came down on their carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, For to your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now please join me in Psalm 27 as we read responsively. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, and whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall.
Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock.
My head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me.
My heart says, Seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek.
Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation.
If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up.
Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies.
Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence.
I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord and be strong, and let your heart take courage.
The second reading is Philippians chapter 3, verses 17, and chapter 4, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand as you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is taken from Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today and tomorrow and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Invite any children or youth to come forward for the children's message. Good morning. Thanks for coming up today. He's doing well. Well, I've got a question to start off with this morning. Who has chickens at home? All right, good deal. This is going to be fun. Been around chickens some. Okay, a few more. That's good. How many different breeds of chickens are there? A few more than one. I did a Google search. That's what you do anymore. Don't know the answer to the question. It said there are hundreds of breeds of chickens, which is a lot more than I was thinking. And actually, Carol, my wife, is into chickens, and she has a great chicken book that has amazing pictures of different kinds of chickens. On our bulletin this morning, did you see what was on the cover? A chicken. What did you see besides the chicken? A baby chicken, kind of hatched out, just mirror hat, a baby chicken underneath the wing of the mother hen. I assume it was a mother hen, probably, right? Do you think it was a rooster, or do you think it was a hen? A hen, yeah. What can you tell me about roosters? They bite. They're annoying. I would second that. Yeah. They make a lot of noise. Yeah. Anything else? They make the hens able to lay eggs. Yeah. Well, I want to tell you a story. My son, Josh, had chickens when he was younger, and when he was in 4-H, which is an organization where you can raise livestock, chickens and lambs and cows and all sorts of things, and I'll do other projects too, and then take them to the county fair, and then they get judged on how good they are, or how big they are, or whatever they judge, whatever it is they're judging on. Well, my son took this chicken that was his favorite, called Red. You can tell he spent a lot of time with it. And Red went to the chicken fair, went to the county fair with my son, and they were sitting in the bleachers, and he took Red out of the cat carrier, that's how we got the chicken to the fair, and set him on the bleachers right next to him, and then took his hands away. What do you think the rooster did? Yeah. Yeah, gobble, 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 yeah. Gobble, gobble, yes, what up? Probably ran away. Well, this was an amazing rooster, because he just stood there, or sat there, right next to him, didn't have to have his hand on him, probably for 20 minutes. It was amazing. He'd played with this rooster a lot when he was growing up. He'd have some cat food in his hand, and he'd hold it up about as tall as he was, and the rooster would jump up and eat the cat food out of his hand. When he was younger, he would be chasing the rooster around the house, and then after a little while, it would come back around the other way, and the rooster was chasing him. Because roosters can be kind of mean sometimes, can't they? They can bite, and they can... And they have what they call claws. Is that what they are? Spurs? Yeah, those kind of things on them. Yeah. After 20 minutes, then he went up to the judging table, and then they laid him on the, set him on the table, and the person who was judging asked, is it okay if I touch him? Is he going to bite me? Or he said, no, he's pretty tame. And for some reason, the rooster let the judge look at him, too. It was pretty amazing, because that isn't normally the experience. Normally, when I came out of the house and that rooster was in the yard, it went chasing after me. We were not best friends. He was best friends with my son. In today's gospel, Jesus says that he wants to gather us together like hens gather their brood, their baby chicks underneath their wings. And the goal is that Jesus wants to protect them, to keep them safe. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Jesus, thank you for protecting us and looking out for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So if Jesus is a mother hen, what does that make us? A chick. Yeah. Thanks for coming up this morning. And a soon-to-be chicken, perhaps. But you're a chick right now. I invite the congregation to join in singing You Are Holy, 525. I invite you to stand as you're able. We'll sing it through twice. Seated. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. When I was studying to be a pastor, I had a somewhat obnoxious friend who liked to take this verse out of context when he thought he was right and I was wrong. How often I would have gathered you under my wings, but you would not. The intent was to make it clear that he was right and that I was wrong, and that if I had followed him, all would have been well. In today's gospel, Jesus knew that all was not going to be well, yet he made his way to Jerusalem. Jesus is warned by a group of religious leaders that King Herod is out to get him. Jesus dismisses Herod as a sly fox, states his determination to continue his ministry no matter what Herod may say, and then offers that heartfelt lament for Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. and you were not willing. Haunting words from Jesus, yet true words. To be clear, there are moments in Jesus' ministry when people were willing. When a child is possessed by a demon, when leprosy tears at the fabric of the community, when the boat that they're rowing is about to go under, when thousands are with them in the wilderness and they're hungry. In those situations, people are more than willing to draw them and follow him. In these situations, it's comforting to think of Jesus as a mother hen whose greatest concern is the well-being of her little ones. There's a flip side to this image, though, because if Jesus understands himself as the mother hen who is the only hope for her chicks, then he understands his followers to be vulnerable chicks. If it's true for them, it's true for us, even if we don't want to be seen as vulnerable chicks. By and large, we're hardworking, competent folks who built beautiful churches like this, which keep the rain out and provide inspiration. We've carved out a place to live, surrounded by clean water, snow-covered mountains, and the bounty of the sea. We've established supply lines that let us eat fresh fruits and vegetables 12 months a year. We have access to medical services that keep disease at bay. Our technological advances have allowed us to live with great comfort and ease. It's hard to see ourselves as vulnerable or helpless chicks. We're the most capable and advanced civilization in the history of the planet, most would say. Yet when it comes to our relationship with God, no amount of building materials or subdivisions or fresh fruit markets or medical services or technological wizardry can give us a life that knows no end. Despite our accomplishments, despite our progress, despite our self-sufficiency, we are still human. We're still by nature incapable of living with the love, compassion, and faithfulness that God asks of us. In fact, we're not really all that different from the chicks in Jesus' illustration, running around the hen house, at times convinced that our own goodness is enough to save us. The truth is, we're a lot more dependent on God than we sometimes realize. When talking about what puts us right with God, or if you will, what determines whether or not we'll end up in heaven after we die, the most common response is, I'm a pretty good person. God wouldn't reject me, right? I'm good enough, aren't I? I actually hear that all the time in one shape or form. The truth is, we aren't promised that we'll be all right with God because of our attempts to be pretty good people or even how we live our lives. We live our lives caring for others in response to God's claim on us. Good intentions don't put us right with God. Even though we might have the highest possible ideals, we find time and time again that we come up short. We're promised that despite the fact that we're incapable of being the people God commands us to be, that he loves us in spite of that and accepts us. It seems to me that is what Jesus is trying to tell us in today's gospel. God loves us and redeems us as we are. Jesus sets his sights on Jerusalem, knowing that is where he will be put to death. Yet even knowing that, he longs for them as a mother hen longs to protect her chicks. There are lots of images for God in the Bible. King, rock, shepherd, tree of life, the great physician, light of the world, the living vine. And now today, Jesus refers to himself with feminine imagery. God as a mother hen, seeking to protect her chicks. This image helps us broaden our imagination, our perception of the characteristics of God. In the end, all of our imagery is inadequate to the one we describe as being all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. So we need to employ as many biblical images as we can. That's why it's so important to remember that women are made in the image of God just as much as men. We all have a place in the kingdom. Unfortunately, it's fairly rare to hear about female images for God. If Jesus can describe God and himself as a mother hen, we too can employ other images to describe God. Scripture has a wide variety of images for God, both male and female. Other female images include God being described as a protective mother eagle in Deuteronomy, a fierce mother bear in Hosea, and a mother giving birth and breastfeeding her child in Isaiah. To be clear, I'm not out to rename God. We're talking not about names of God, but images for God. The Bible is clear that the name of God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the name that Jesus commands us to use when he sends us forth to go and baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Today's gospel image is of a God as a mother hen. When I've observed mother hens, they're life-bearing, inquisitive, protective, compassionate, territorial, tough. This week I came across a story about a mother hen. One day, part of a chicken coop caught on fire at a farm. The farmer was able to get the fire out before it destroyed the coop. When he began to search through what was left, he found a dead hen next to her nest. The hen's feathers were scorched from the smoke and the fire. As he lifted the burned hen from the ashes, he was surprised to see movement below the hen's feathers. Four small chicks slowly scurried out from underneath her wings, chirping. Most likely, the hen could have escaped herself, but she chose to protect her young. The image of God as a mother hen may seem too sentimental, too unrealistic. I don't know if a mother hen would be that selfless in real life. However, I can imagine Jesus as that mother hen. I know that you don't want to try and take a chick away from a hen who has a baby chick, or take the chick away from a mother hen who's laying under her wings. I know that you can add an unhatched egg or a chick to a mother's hen's roost, and she'll take care of it as her own. A striking parallel to how Jesus will adopt Torah Merol as his own in the sacrament of Holy Baptism today. In our gospel, notice Jesus' care for the concern of the children of Jerusalem, how much anguish he has for them. Jesus has just heard that his life is in jeopardy, yet Jesus' focus is on those needing healing and those in Jerusalem who wish him harm. He knows that he must be about healing the sick, curing the lame, and he knows that he won't be done until he reaches Jerusalem. His ministry of healing will reach its climax in his death, a death that's violent and unfair, but will also eventually heal the world. The world is still in need of healing. That was evidenced this week in the racist white supremacist attack in New Zealand, where at least 49 Muslims were killed in their mosque while they were worshiping. I believe that Jesus seeks to gather those victims and their survivors under his wings as well. I don't know why Jesus chose the image of a mother hen seeking to protect her young to convey how strongly he felt for the people of Jerusalem. On one level, it doesn't make sense to me. It wouldn't be my natural response to people who have rejected me, who are out to hurt me. Yet we know what it's like to want to protect someone from getting hurt or hurting themselves. What distraught parent or grandparent has not felt pain for a loved one when a choice they have made takes them down a path that leads to suffering or brokenness? What spouse or friend has not grieved in some way when the person they love and care about is going down a path that harms themselves or others? Jesus is aware of the brokenness we all experience in our lives. Jesus was aware of the brokenness of the lives in Jerusalem. He weeps over the city. Jesus loves this city that will kill him. Jesus loves these people that will reject him. Jesus loves this world that continues to ignore him today. Jesus loves us today in our brokenness and in our times of glory. Lent, like this morning's gospel lesson, is a time of promise, a word of hope. The promise is that we have a God who loves us unconditionally because our own efforts aren't good enough. Our good intentions aren't good enough. Like a mother hen who, when danger is near, wraps her chicks under her wings and offers her body as a shield, so too our God encompasses us with love, protects us from what threatens us, graces our lives with hope for today and for the future. It's through that unconditional love that you are good enough. That is the promise of Lent, the promise of our faith, the hope that we can stake our lives upon. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are comfortable in doing and singing our next hymn, number 732. Son.